Hey, you guys, here we are back once again. Zach says I'm sober.
Yeah, oh, shit. You didn't check off, man. You come in here sober. Nah, we're sober, too.
So are we. I got tea today.
Yeah.
Because I had one during the show last night, but that was all I had.
Had to take it easy. Well, today we're going to do Son of Kong, one of the first sequels to a blockbuster.
Yeah.
In the movie industry. Had a lot of the original cast. Fay Wray wasn't in it. They replaced her with another one. I don't know who that is. I actually liked her character better. I liked her better.
Helen Mack, I think her name is.
Helen what?
Helen Mack, I think her
Helen
name is.
Helen Mack, yeah. I liked her character a little bit better. And it's a very different kind of movie than Kong. It's a lot more like Indiana Jones. And you can see where Indiana Jones was a ripoff of movies like these. And Helen Mack, I don't remember what her character is. She's a lot like Indiana's girlfriend in the first movie. What was her name?
Marion.
Kind of reminds me of Marion. She's a little more scrappy. She kind of has a damn personality. When Faye was really just damsel in distress, you know. She just swooned, you know. But this one, she actually did cool shit. It was a good movie. They run into Kong's son.
Baby Kong. Or Little Kong, I think they call him that sometimes, too.
It's kind of strange because this movie's an apology for what happened to fucking King Kong. And the dude says it. He says, I'm sorry what happened to your old man. You know, I just need to apologize. You know what? We took him down there and he got killed. And, you know, it was all for nothing type of deal.
Pretty much, yeah.
And then they all save each other several times. But Baby Kong dies anyway.
Yeah, see, now...
I was pissed. I was like, wait a minute.
I was too. Like, I thought that when we were talking about King Kong on Sunday, I thought one of y'all in the comments, I don't remember who it was, but I thought somebody in the comments said, oh, Baby Kong, or like Son of Kong, like lives at the end of this movie. He absolutely does not live.
He strives.
Spoiler, he dies at the end of this. Yep. And it's like, so I was expecting him to like live, and I was like, oh, look how cute he is and everything like that. And then when he died, I got kind of like angry. And it's like, I went out the room like to go to the bathroom, like after, and Pookie was sitting at the top of the stairs. I'm like, do you believe that shit, Pookie?
Yeah, they killed off Kong again.
She did not believe it.
Yeah. And he died because of he died saving people. So,
yeah.
Kind of, although they didn't confirm it, they didn't show his dead body afterwards, but you assume he died, though. He went underneath the water. So he got
well, like the whole island got like
yeah.
Got it was like
was that
an
his
earthquake.
Whole
and, was I thought it was the whole island. I mean, it was kind of like hard to tell
hard
because
to tell
it was
happened.
You know.
Right. So I wasn't really clear either. I thought it was just kind of like a little reef that they were on. I guess it was the whole island.
I thought it was the whole island.
Yeah. So the whole island sank, and that's it. No more monsters.
Until the remakes.
Yeah, until the remake.
Or until a volcano comes and like pops it up out there with all the dinosaurs and shit on it.
Yeah.
So
it was made in the same year. They made it just a few months later.
With I think half the budget.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of the thing. You know, I don't really know if they were expecting King Kong to be as large a cultural phenomenon as it was in 1933. I mean, it was a giant hit. So basically RKO Pictures were, you know, they were basically like, oh my God, we got to do like more of this. And it was like the same producer, but it's like, yeah, you have to have the whole movie done. And that's writing the script, pre-production, actual filming, post-production, everything in 9 months. They did it in 9 months, which is unprecedented.
Yeah.
I mean, even for back then. So I kind of feel like, I don't know, like I liked this movie, but it's not, you're not going to be able to follow King Kong, for Christ's sake. I mean, you know what I mean? That was kind of like... Now, they did have the woman that did the script doctoring and like kind of did most of the final version of the script on the first King Kong, Ruth Rose. She actually wrote the screenplay for the second one. And she's basically like, well, I'm not going to be able to top King Kong, obviously. So she's like, maybe I should just make it funnier or make it like a slightly different kind of movie. Now, it should be noted, too, that a lot of stuff was in the script that they couldn't afford to put in the movie. So, like, there was supposed to be like a big cyclone and there was supposed to be like this big dinosaur stampede and like all this other kind of stuff going on in the movie, but they couldn't afford to show it. So I kind of feel like what happens is that it's a really good movie. I'm not saying that, but it is like completely different and it has a lot more humor in it. Like, Baby Kong is more of like a... like you said, Minya. It's like more like Minya or like, yeah, you know, Godzuki.
Like, yeah, it's like Godzuki.
Like the little baby Godzilla. Baby,
yeah.
Yeah, where there's just kind of like, where he gonna like, you know what I mean?
Minya's like, is a ripoff. Gotta be a ripoff of Sonic Kong. Japanese saw that, you know, and was like, oh yeah, we're gonna do that with Godzilla. Of course.
Yeah.
So, it works though. It's just, you're not gonna be able to do King Kong again.
So, and she knew that. Yeah. So she's basically like, well, maybe I can just make it a different kind of story and right, make it funnier, yeah, and stuff like that. So there is a lot more humor in it. Now, the guy that played Carl Denham in the first movie, like, comes back for this one. And actually, he ended up liking this one better, I guess because his part's bigger and also, like, he gets a hot chick at the end who's, like, yeah, half his age. Yeah. So I guess he liked that. Robert Armstrong, I think that guy's name is.
Yeah.
So he liked this movie a lot better. And he's more... he's more of a character in this. I kind of feel like in the first King Kong, he's kind of like a little bit of a caricature.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're gonna like, it's the eighth wonder of the world. And he's like talking like a radio broadcast. Whereas in this one, he's more like a person.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
This is definitely an Indiana Jones type movie. It's got a lot of the same things. Girls in bars, in seaports, fights in seaports, mutinies. Exploring new shit, but it's got that kind of, you know how in Indiana Jones he's always dealing with like merchant marines and sea vessels and shit, you know, guys on the edges of society to where they're mostly at sea, so they don't care what the fuck's going on. There's a lot of that in it. He dude inherits this girl. Her dad gets killed in a fire the day before, and he was a drinker living in that same scene, and she has to go on the voyage, and they said absolutely not, so she stows away. She ends up in it anyway. They get to Skull Island, and the ship's crew mutinies and kicks dude off, and the girl, and the Chinese cook, and
yeah, he returns with the Chinese cook guy. He ran around
the whole time with his damn
with a cleaver,
with his meat cleaver, his Chinese fucking meat cleaver. Typical fucking Chinese weapon of the 30s. You know?
That's pretty funny.
And, yeah, whenever they showed Chinese people in the cartoons back in those days, they're running around the damn meat cleaver, chasing you around the meat cleaver. I guess it was, yeah Chinese that, restaurants in San Francisco. That's all you ever see dudes on the street fucking with that meat cleaver. So, you know. Anyway, just stereotypes, you know. But, I thought it was a good movie. It was a good movie.
It's fun.
It's just don't expect King Kong. Expect more kind of like a comedy, semi-comedy version, almost more like a Sinbad movie. Like a cross between, you know, like Sinbad and Seven Voyages of Sinbad, something like that, mixed with Indiana Jones. The lead character, what was his name again?
Carl Denham.
Yeah, Carl. He's kind of like Andy, kind of.
Well, kind of like more of like a dumpy, middle-aged version of Indiana Jones.
Yeah, well, you know, fucking Harrison Ford, he upped the game, you know, in that genre. He was pretty physically fit for a professor, you know.
Well, because he had to go out adventuring. He had to go and do CrossFit, like, when, like, during his off time.
He had to be impressive to the ladies. So, you know. But that guy was probably not all that shabby for his era.
Yeah.
You know. So I would say it's a very similar movie. Very similar kind of movie.
Jason Williams says, great movie. This is a great podcast. Have you guys done a show on female serial killers? We've done some individual female serial killers. I think we did Aileen Wuornos and a couple of other ones, but I don't know. Like, we probably will at some point, Slasher Fred said, are you also going to review the 1976 remake and its sequel, King Kong Lives?
I think we did.
Maybe. We might get around to it. I know... Yeah. Well, I think we started watching the 1976 one, but I don't know if we finished it or if we ever did, like, a show on it or not.
Maybe we didn't review it. Yeah. But at least we've seen it.
Yeah, we saw it, like, fairly recently.
I wanted to do Mighty Joe Young after this one, though.
We can do Mighty Joe Young.
Yeah, because I remember liking Mighty Joe Young better than King Kong.
No, I haven't seen it.
And I don't think I had ever seen this one as a kid, Son of Kong. I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah, because Mighty Joe Young was later, right?
Later, yeah.
Yeah.
It looks a lot better. It's still black and white.
So I kind of feel like it's friendly, because the thing about it is that, you know, even though the original King Kong, obviously, like, they find the gorilla and the gorilla's like, you know, yeah, I'm eating all you motherfuckers.
Yeah.
This one, like I said, it's a lot more comedic and it's a lot more, I mean, when they meet Baby Kong, when they go to Skull Island, he's in the quicksand, right? Yeah. And then so they rescue him, and then, like, he befriends them. So he just keeps fighting, like, other monsters that are terrorizing our heroes, you know what I mean? Like, he has to beat up, like, a big giant bear and, like, some other, like, another dinosaur and all that other kind of stuff. But he's, like, a friendly character.
Yeah.
He's not really he's big, but he's not, obviously, as big as...
No, he's not that big.
I mean, I think he's, what, they said he's 12 feet tall.
Yeah.
So he's, like, twice the size of a person.
He's about the size of Mighty Joe Young, actually.
Yeah. So he's still...
Right.
But, yeah, but he's just... And they kind of, like, have it, too, where the girl, who, actually, I don't think they ever... I was looking on Wikipedia, and this didn't occur to me. In the credits, they have her listed as Hilda. That's her character name. But they never actually call her that in the movie. Like, he just calls her Kid the whole time.
Yeah, he calls her Kid the whole time. Hilda is her name. Okay.
Her name's Hilda, though. Yeah. And that's, and like, her dad calls her something, but he just calls her by, like, a pet name or something. So it's like, yeah, you don't even find out what her, they never even call her by her name. But so she's in at the beginning, like, she's at in the circus.
Yeah.
With her dad, like, at this port.
Playing ukulele.
She plays, and her dad has, like, all these monkeys, which I thought was, like, kind of cool. And, like, one of the monkeys is dressed up like... well, they have, all the monkeys are dressed
They're
up.
They're all dressed up.
But the one monkey's dressed up, like, has the, like, Dance of the Seven Veils kind of situation. Like, she has a little belly dancer thing on, and she's, like, jumping up and down with a little veil on her face.
Yeah, they're all playing instruments.
And they're all, like,
they're looking
like,
around.
I'm like, oh, my God, that's awesome. Look at those little monkeys in their little outfits.
Little spider monkeys.
Yeah, so she has, like,
they were a great part of the fucking show.
I know, I really liked
it's
that.
It's kind of like something out of Little Rascals, you know what I mean? The Little Rascals show.
I liked the little
monkeys. The monkeys are performing.
Yeah, they're, like, banging on the drum. I liked the one that was dancing, like, because she was just like she's dancing, but she's basically, like, jumping up and down,
in
a little outfit,
fucking veil over her face. It's funny, you know. And then, like, all the fucking merchant marines, you know, they have them of both genders in there, fucking watching this show, and they're just not impressed. And they're just like, yeah.
Well, yeah, because then, like, the monkeys, I thought, were the best part.
Yeah.
And then Hilda comes out and, like, playing her ukulele. And, of course, I had to do, like, a Tiny Tim, like, voice.
Ultra high falsetto.
The joke is that she's not that good at it. But, like, she knows that she's not that good. She's not terrible.
Okay.
She was okay. Yeah. But that was kind of the joke that, like, everybody was looking at him going, oh, my God, this is the lamest shit ever. We wouldn't even be here if there was if there was fuck all else to do, like, in this port.
I liked that actress, and I liked that character. She's tough and kind of scrappy. You know, she'll call out bullshit when she sees it. She'll confront people. You know, you killed my father, that type of shit. Fucking, she'll lie, fucking weasel her way back on the ship, fucking all kinds of shit, you know. And she didn't take any bullshit. She was kind of like Marion.
Yeah, she was a lot more. She had a lot more character and had a lot more, like, motivation.
Yeah.
Than, because I feel like Faye Ray. I really like Faye Ray, and I really liked her character in the original King Kong. But like you said, she's basically there just to be, like, a pretty damsel in distress, and then get the dude and get married at the end or whatever.
She's a little bit of a fucking MacGuffin too, Faye Ray. She's not really a MacGuffin. You know, she's a prop. She's something for you to worry about. The gorilla's got it. Or the, you know, Kong's got her.
Yeah.
You know. But they did the right thing, though, you know. It was a woman that wrote the script?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Well, she wrote the original one, too. Right. But she didn't write the original version of the original King Kong, but she came in and, like, streamlined it and changed it.
Okay.
And her version is basically what you see in the final movie. But she actually wrote the screenplay for this one.
Yeah, this character, she's got personality, a little more depth to her. And actually, I think that actress is prettier than Faye Ray. She's not dolled up. She's a tomboy kind of, for the era.
Yeah.
I mean, she is wearing heels and shit, but that's just how they dressed back then. But she's not in nightgowns and, you know, have her nightgowns, you know, or anything like that. Although that was a ball gown is what that was.
And they justified it by, you know, basically, well, we brought her here to, like, shoot a movie, so it's like she's costumes and stuff.
Right.
Whereas, like, in this movie, like you said, she just stowed away because she was in this port and wanted to get the fuck out of there, and, like, her dad got killed.
Yeah.
you know, in this
got
fire.
Killed in a drunken brawl, basically.
Yeah, by this, by the dude. I actually kind of like the way they tied this in, because the dude that actually sort of accidentally on purpose, like, killed her dad by hitting him over the head during a drunken brawl and then setting the tent on fire and then being like, oops, I'm out. That guy, they tied him in with the original movie by saying, even though he wasn't in the original movie, by saying that he was the guy that Carl Denham had got the map to Skull Island from, like, in the first movie. Because I think in the first movie, if I remember correctly, he said, yeah, I got the map from a guy, but they didn't ever show the guy or say what the guy's name was. So that's how they tied this in the first movie. Like, that's the dude that, and then they meet up with him again, and he's like, oh, you're the guy that I got the map from and shit like that. So then, like, he ends up killing her dad, and she's basically like, you motherfucker, like, you killed my dad and all this other kind of stuff. But then she just wants to get the fuck out of there because everything's gone. Like, everything burned down. The monkeys were okay. Like, she saved them. But her dad's dead. So she meets Carl. Carl's like, yeah, shame about your dad, like, you know, and everything. But
here's some money. Stay here.
Here's some money. Stay here. You can't go with me. Yeah. And then she was like, oh, bummer. And then she was like, I'm sneaking on that.
Yeah, she gets stuck in there anyway. And then she would fucking, like, play dumb. And then when your back's turned, she'd be snickering. Like, yeah, so she was manipulative. But it was, like, in a good way. I thought she was a good character.
I did, too. And I liked her.
And she did good. The actress did those old fucking silent movie facial expressions and shit, you know. Because, you know, the talkies were kind of new. So they still had a lot of carryover from the silent films. And she's hamming it up, you know, with the eyebrows and all that, you know. And fucking, you know. I thought she was good. I think she was one of the best things about the movie.
Her and the monkeys were my favorite part.
Yeah, her, the monkeys, and fucking Kong.
And Baby Kong.
Yeah, Carl. Baby is his Kong. Name Carl, the so-called hero? I guess he's a hero. He's kind of a dick.
Fucking,
a tad. Every time Baby Kong does something, he yells at fucking Kong and shit, tries to put him in check, and Kong's like, oh, you know. Just, you know, it's kind of like, dude, man, fucking leave Baby Kong alone. What the fuck?
And then he's all, and I have to say,
too. And he laughs
it
off, you know?
I have to say, too, that Carl, in this movie particularly, is really not the brightest crayon in the box. Mm-hmm. Because even before they go to Skull Island, because him and the captain, now the captain from the original King Kong, that was the same guy, right? I'm pretty sure that was the same actor.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I think it was the same actor. So what ends up happening is that they end up in this port.
Him.
Yeah. They end up in this port because this takes place only a month after the original King Kong. That's when it's only supposed to be a month has gone by. And because of all the destruction wrought by King Kong in the original one, everybody and their mom is suing Carl Denham. So he's like, yeah, I'm going to get the fuck out of Dodge because I'm totally bankrupt.
Yeah.
So him and the captain from the ship of the original, in the original movie, they're like, let's go and, like, do trading. And so they're, like, going around from port to port, like, trying to escape their creditors, essentially.
Yeah.
So they, what?
Oh, I was saying, I thought that was a great touch. Because, you see, they bring Kong into fucking New York, and it gets out, and it does all kinds of shit, and fucking kills people, throws a woman out of her fucking bedroom, fucking... They had to call out airplanes to fucking fight it. It did all kinds of damage. And then Beauty killed the beast. That's it. That's a wrap. Okay, everybody, go home. We won. In reality, you get your ass fucking sued. And that's what happened.
And that's what happens in this one.
They lost everything because they came after him for, you know, fucking...
As they would.
As they would.
And rightfully so.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
Came after him for, you know, I guess, you know, not malfeasance. What do you call it? Endangerment and all kinds of shit.
There's no specific law that says bringing a gigantic ape to New York City and, like, having them run a rampage and kill a bunch of people.
They were just derelict in their fucking responsibilities. You know, they got loose and it was they were liable. That's what I was saying. They were liable for all that shit. And that's what would really happen, especially in New York. And there's a fucking scene in there where one of the characters is trying to serve him fucking papers to sue his ass.
Right.
And he's funny. He's a good character. He's a... they're trying... You know, this is New York now. This is the 30s. And fucking everything was ethnic neighborhoods. And there's a lot of stereotype stuff. And he's from the... Let's just say he's from the Jewish quarters. And he's trying to fucking serve these fucking papers. And he's, oh, you got me again. He goes, I'm good at what I do, you know. And so he does finally sue him, but then the dude comes later on and goes, "Hey, they're gonna indict you, you know." I'll get you out of here. So he safely got him out of there. Remember that?
And you know
put
how
him
they
in the dam, put him in disguised him and shit.
He disguised him by disguised like putting him. A box over his head.
Yeah, put it in the box. No one will see you.
Like that's not gonna draw attention.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's what I mean. That's what like that's where the humor comes into it because he basically put was it a box or a toaster?
It was like a bucket, what
or a
barrel,
bucket or
a
something?
Barrel or fucking, and like so they wash put basin or some shit.
Yeah,
like
maybe it was a wash basin.
A wash basin.
I think that's what it was.
I just thought it was funny that
they just put it on his head and then he goes out in the street and gets on the cart like it's normal.
Yeah.
I thought that was hysterical.
I just thought it was funny that, you know, fucking these old movies, they got no problems fucking doing stereotypical black people and stereotypical Chinese and stereotypical Irish, and they just, you know, stereotypes, they just thought they were funny, you know, back in those days. So they did stereotypical Jewish dude. They had that in there. Although I wouldn't say it was like a negative portrayal. It was just a portrayal. You had Jewish guys making these movies too. So, that, you know, it was just all in good fun. Probably wouldn't fly today, but fuck it. Man, it was the 30s.
Danny Rowling said, is there a high kill count in this film? Not really.
Not really.
Not compared to the first one. Like I said, seeing the first one after so many years, I couldn't believe how many motherfuckers died in that movie. Holy crap.
Yeah.
King Kong, like, ate a bunch of motherfuckers, like, threw people out windows, stomped on them, did all kind of stuff. This one, not so much. The dad, her dad dies. Like, and that's not even Kong related because that's like in a brawl in a fire. And the guy that kills her dad, like he gets killed, not by Kong though. He gets killed by, does he get killed by one of the dinosaurs or does he drown? I think it's one of the shithead that killed her dad.
Oh, he got eaten by the plesiosaur.
I think he got eaten by one of the dinosaurs.
Remember,
so
running back to the little canoe that they came up, that they ran, you know, that they, remember they went down the tunnel in the canoe?
Yeah, that's right.
Where the temple was.
He got
this has kind of got a Temple of Doom fucking.
Yeah, because they do actually find.
There is a temple there.
Like they find like an old temple. And because the natives are in this for like a second.
Yeah, and it's
and I think
the
it's
same,
like, it's the same guy that's the
witch
doctor.
Yeah.
But they're only in it for like a second because like they get to Skull Island like in the little boat and all the people come out and are like, man, we're pissed off at you because of what you happened with King Kong. And they're like, bye, we'll go to the other side of the island. Just don't kill us. So then you don't see him anymore. So then they go to another part of the island, and that's when they find. Like I said, there's other monsters in this. There's like a big bear, and everything. And Danny Rowling also asks, how does Baby Kong die? Baby Kong dies at the end. There's like this big earthquake, something, volcano, whatever the fuck it is. And the whole
it was
island
kind of big. I think I'd have to see it again.
Yeah, the island is all kind of like going under the waves or whatever, like some Atlantis shit.
Yeah.
And so there's sea monsters and whatnot. And Carl is gonna drown because like all the other people that lived, like the Chinese guy and the girl,
they're trying to get out in a canoe.
They try to get out in the canoe and everything's getting all fucked up. And Carl is like gonna drown and Baby Kong like holds him up.
Well, goes
out of the water.
He saves him. He goes over there and saves him, and his ankle gets caught on the damn
rocks. That's right.
And Carl's trying to free Baby Kong's leg. They're both trying to free it, but then the water level rises up. Fucking Baby Kong holds him up like that as he goes under and drowns.
Yeah, so he dies, like, saving.
And fucking Carl doesn't say shit about it. Just swims out to the fucking dinghy and gets in. Oh, well.
I know. I was just kind of like...
Yeah,
and the thing about it, what I was gonna say earlier was
the writing
that Carl
wasn't that tight.
Carl. I mean, it was very rushed. You could tell that it was very rushed. It's still a good movie, but you could tell that it was kind of like they didn't have a lot of time to like do more drafts and stuff. But I was gonna say that earlier on, like Carl, even though Baby Kong like obviously did some stuff to like save them, like fought the bear off, like killed the bear that was attacking.
It.
And Carl's just like, well, do you think that Baby Kong is like trying to protect them? Like, duh, dude.
Yeah.
It's like, are you, he's like not really bright. Well, like I said, he's not really bright too because.
Hilda was like, yeah, of course. He understands.
Well, yeah, she knew monkeys. She'd been working with monkeys for many years in the circus. But yeah, what I was saying about Carl not being that smart was obviously one, he didn't understand that Baby Kong was like friends of theirs, like, and was returning the favor because they had pulled him out of the quicksand, like when they first found him. But also, even before they got to Skull Island, when he was talking to the asshole that killed Hilda's dad, he was trying to get off the fucking out of this port too, and he's just like, oh, there's treasure on Skull Island. Yeah, that's it. I'm like, obviously, he's making a story up. And Carl's like, what? Treasure? Okay, let's go. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh my God.
Turned out there was,
though. You were a giant idiot. Yeah. Well, yeah, but...
I don't think he knew it, but...
He didn't know, no.
He said he didn't know where it was. He just heard that.
No, but he said later on that he's like, there wasn't any treasure. You know what I mean? Right. He was full of shit. Right. It just happened that they found, like, yeah. It was like a big diamond thing, like, in an idol.
You had that big wall there, so, of course, there's going to be more. There was a damn temple. Well, that's all this stuff is kind of what made me think, just the tone of the movie, the subject matter, what was happening. To me, it was reminding me of Indiana Jones.
Yeah, like, it was much more like that.
Kind of like the Temple of Doom or Indiana Jones 1. You know, because when Jenny first saw the fucking treasure, she goes, is it the Ark of the Covenant?
It looked kind of like the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah.
I was like, don't open that. Your face is going to melt off.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, I mean, that's kind of the thing. And I will say, too, that it takes a while for them to get to Skull Island. Like, I think it's like half the movie, like before they even get to Skull Island. Like the whole first part of
budget.
The That's what I'm saying. Like, and like I said, there was a bunch of stuff in the script that they couldn't afford to film, like a lot more like dinosaur stuff. Now, they did use a lot of the figures, like the stop motion figures, like from the first movie, like some of the dinosaurs and shit like that. But they did have some new ones, like I said, like the bear and like the big bear and everything. That was new. I don't think that was in the first one. But they did use some of the dinosaurs over again. Like, I think one was in the water and shit like that.
I put it there with, you know, the Sinbad movies.
Yeah.
About like that.
I mean, not as epic in scope.
Not as epic, but it's trying to be that. It's a prototype of
just
those.
on a much, much lower budget.
Well, it's 1930s.
That too.
It's 1930s. Too. I think that's the main problem. Not so much budget.
The thing about the first King Kong was that you have to think that, yeah, it looked really awesome, like with that big wall and the jungle sets and everything like that. But all that stuff, most of that stuff wasn't even built for King Kong specifically. It was built for Most Dangerous Game. Mm-hmm. And they just used it for King Kong because they had it. And they were like, so they just dressed it a little bit different.
Right.
So it wasn't like, you know, they built it, like they purpose built it for that movie. So I kind of feel like, I don't know. So like what happened with this one, they had 9 months to make it and they had like, I think half the budget. So I think they did as well as they could with what they had. I think it was a good idea to go in a completely different direction than the original King Kong. Like, because original King Kong is much more a horror movie. Like, it had a little bit of humor in it, but not really. And like I said, a whole bunch of people died. So it was a lot more like an adventure horror movie. Whereas this one is an adventure movie, but it's a lot funnier.
Adventure serial movie.
Yeah.
1930s, which that's what Indiana Jones was copying and homaging those.
Yeah.
So it's like that. It's got comedy in there, but it's not slapstick in a way. It's just they're lightening the mood. They're just trying to approach the King Kong topic from a new angle, so it's not repeating the first one. I think people probably liked it, but they made a big mistake killing off Baby Kong.
I was not expecting that. Because. Like I said, I was pretty sure, I hadn't seen it in a long time, so I didn't remember what had happened, because I didn't see it since I was a kid. And I'm pretty sure one of you guys, I don't remember who it was, but said that Baby Kong didn't die at the end, but he does, though.
Yeah, he does.
And then I was like, that kind of, like, bummed me out, because the movie was kind of like, it's not a laugh a minute or anything, but it had, like, a lot more humor in it. And then for them to just go serious at the end and just kill him off
was
a little shitty.
It was dumb because you killed your moneymaker. It should have ended with them being rescued by a bigger ship and that Son of Kong could fit on that ship.
And they pulled him out. Baby Kong, oh no!
Yeah, and they maybe they rescue him with a damn witch or something, or you know what I mean, they, you know, pull him up out, or he gets free. There's no reason why he even had to, you know, get his leg caught. You could have you could have made the story so they all ended up being rescued by a bigger vessel, and that it ends with them heading back to New York. Because see, you can now make a third installation years later of what happens when he gets to New York and he's now older. Type of deal.
Baby Kong takes Manhattan.
Baby Kong is the size of fucking his dad now. You know what I mean? They got him somewhere, and he's cool. All right, he's cool. But then they get attacked by something else, and that was way Godzilla went.
Yeah,
where Godzilla is now defending Japan, from white people. Which I think is basically what they're talking about. White people and their atomic bombs.
Making bigger and bigger monsters.
Yeah. Right.
That's actually probably they should have done that.
That's
like
what they
I said,
done.
I don't really know. But like we were talking about this when we were watching the movie last night, and I think I brought this up a little bit on the King Kong show on Sunday, was that really there? I'm not saying there weren't sequels. I don't know if this is actually the first case of a sequel, but like to a movie. I mean, people knew the concept because it did happen, like, in writing and stuff like that. But I think this was maybe the first time that it happened on this large of a scale. And so they didn't really...
They weren't thinking
long-term. They weren't really thinking long-term. They were just thinking kind of like, hey, that movie was really successful. Let's quickly do another one.
Right.
And I guess they killed off Baby Kong at the end because they're like, well, King Kong died at the end of the first one. And that was, like, super successful. So let's just do that again.
Yeah, dumb idea.
Which, like I said, they weren't really thinking, oh, maybe we can make another one
that
like a year or two
maker.
Down the line.
Yeah,
where, like you said, he could have been, and then you could have introduced like other monsters.
If there's islands out there that have things like Kong on it, then that means there's other islands.
Sure.
All right. There's other islands that have things that are worse. All right. What's going to happen when these things attack America? Think about it. Okay.
Gonna need a giant gorilla.
Yeah, you're gonna have to have a giant gorilla. All right. Fucking defending America. And Mexico, Con. Defends Mexico and America.
You just say North America, and then we can get Canada in there, too.
Canada, too. See, machine guns aren't enough. You need to fucking call out Kong. Just ask the Japanese. Whenever they get in danger, man, fucking, you know, it's Kaiju Express, man. It's destroy all monsters, okay? Japan being attacked by 30 or 40 giant monsters. You know, it's fucking... Had they done that, there's a chance where 5 or 10 years later, Archaea will, you know what, we can come back and we can do part 3 now. We need to start hyping this, all right? And you would have had Kaiju in the 30s and early 40s.
Yeah.
You see, World War II was happening. So you wanted to get that in the 30s. Before World War II started. Well, they didn't know World War II was going to start, but...
Yeah, that'd have been pretty weird.
Yeah,
that'd
have been weird. We've got to get this over before World War II starts. But it'd have been better...
Who are you, Nostradamus?
Yeah. It'd have been better if they had that thing out by, you know, 37 or so, 36.
Yeah.
And now you got Kaiju, giant monsters.
Well, the thing about it, though, I kind of feel like it might not technically be Kaiju because... I think I mentioned this Sunday. King Kong is just a big giant gorilla. He doesn't have any magic powers. He's not like radioactive or anything. Because I feel like Godzilla and all those monsters and stuff, because they were created by radiation, like some of them had not supernatural powers, but they had.
They're all mutants.
Yeah, they had like mutant type powers. Yeah, where King Kong was just the only mutation was like he was just really big.
Yeah, he was a natural creature.
He didn't have any weird powers otherwise.
It would
that
still be Kaiju.
Gorillas didn't have.
It would still be Kaiju.
I guess
it would just be an American version of it. It would just be giant monsters, giant creatures. They wouldn't have to be you know fire breathing or mutants or any way. They would just be stuff.
Yeah,
that
like
was
shooting
out on the
lightning
island.
Or whatever
they
the
need
fuck.
That. No, but you see, it would be. It would make sense that the way that that one ended, that you're now son of Kong is now friends with mankind. He's back and they built a habitat for him in the United States.
Yeah, see, that'd you know be good.
Mean? He's got
I'd
a whole
that.
Theme park. It's kind of like Jurassic Park. People pay to come see it. He's now wealthy.
Yeah.
Okay. And they got a big old Kong and he's chilling. Well, all of a sudden from one of these other islands, something bad happens. Or mankind now needs Kong. To help, all right? And because he's living around people, he can help. Maybe they even got it where he can speak sign language.
I was just going to say, so they taught him sign language.
Right. And then, because...
Did they know they could do that in the 30s?
They probably wouldn't even thought of that. They would have never even thought of that. But you could arm him. You could give him a big old club or a sword or something, you know what I mean? A shield. It would be like a superhero movie. Cut him loose, man.
Give him a little outfit.
Yeah. But you might not want to give him that until like the grand finale, like he's fighting a giant turtle.
Yeah.
Think of something as ridiculous as a
like Gamera.
That would never happen.
He's fighting Gamera.
Yeah, well, he's eventually going
to
have to fucking
but Gamera's
drill through
all
that
children.
Shell somehow. You know what I mean? So they had to make him something. That's what the Japanese would have done. That's what they were doing. Okay, we're going to have to equip him.
Yeah.
You know? So you got a whole stories you could tell right there. America should have been up on that, but they weren't thinking.
Hugo said, I think there was a rule in the Academy back then where you have to kill the monster at the end. Maybe that's what it was, because
well,
it was just
evil had to be punished.
Yeah, that was definitely a rule. And
well,
that was
not evil.
That was something that came in with the Hays Code. But yeah, see, I think that you could have got around it because he was a good guy.
He was a good guy.
He didn't do anything bad to anybody.
Yep. So you could have had like a kaiju. They already had superheroes at this time. They had,
yeah.
So they could have done it. They were just trying to get it over with. I think like, hey, let's make some.
Yeah,
money
they just
right
wanted
now.
To cash in.
They
sure.
weren't. They weren't realizing that you could make a fucking extended universe. They didn't think that way.
Yeah, not really. Like I said, it's not, I think people nowadays think it's like, oh my god, all the sequels, but it's like, yeah. Once the Universal Monster movies and all that, man, they made fucking fuck tons of sequels to those.
Yeah.
Son of Frankenstein, Son of Dracula, you know, fucking Baby Dracula. They
yeah, that's funny because
they made them all the time, and then like Abbott and Costello meet yeah. Frankenstein. It was
and
just,
what was
it was
funny
ridiculous.
Is that they didn't build in any continuity into anything.
No.
They were just like, oh, this is a great movie. And then they end it, and they're fucking the monster's dead. Now, the next fucking time you have to remake that movie, how are you going to bring him back
they're
to
just
life?
Like, we're just going to pretend that shit didn't happen last time.
Should have never killed him in the fucking first place. What are you doing?
Like yeah. I said, they didn't think like long term. Like yeah. I said, I feel like maybe that's like a newer concept, because nowadays everybody... I feel like if you're making a movie, particularly if it's superheroes or monsters, like you have this kind of like long-term plan. It's yeah. like where it's going to be this whole overarching world and this whole overarching story. And I kind of feel like they weren't doing that as much.
They didn't even, they were
not in movies anyway.
They were even fucking that shit up in the late 80s. I remember when that first Tim Burton Batman came out. We saw that in the theater. I fucking loved that shit. Jack Nicholson as a Joker. I thought it was just the fucking best movie ever at that time, you know? We're just, this is fucking a trip, man, you know? Batman? No way, you know? Because Batman was some fucking hokey shit, you know? Adam West, you know? That's how we pictured Batman. But they're just showing us this badass, cool idea of Batman. And fucking, the Joker was fucking impressive. What do? They kill him.
Yeah.
They kill him at the end of the movie. And I was like, that was fucking dumb. That was fucking dumb. How can you kill the fucking Joker? The series is over? It's over? Because if you ever even looked at the fucking TV series, which we had watched the TV series, we liked it. You know, it was fun when we were kids. The Joker always comes back. You don't kill off your villains.
Yeah, why would you do
that? Why would
that?
You do that? Don't kill the villains.
The villains are the best
yeah.
part.
Yeah. They're just always temporarily defeated. They get locked up. Okay, that's it. But then they escape, so they got to do it over and over again.
That's what I mean. It's like if you kill
them. You got me last time, Batman. But, you know, this is, you know, like, oh, he's back. That way you can always revive the series. Well, how good would those other Batman movies been? I mean, fucking the one with Catwoman was great and Penguin. But how that would have been so much better if the Joker was still out there and would show up. Jack Nicholson? Imagine if Jack Nicholson showed up in that movie.
I mean, I guess if you really wanted to go out there, you could say, like, you kill him off and then bring him back as a zombie in one.
Yes. No, that would just... In shit like that, you just make... Kaiju realized that. You don't kill him. You don't kill him at all.
Yeah, you just put him, like, in stasis.
They go into stasis.
They're frozen at the bottom of the Arctic or some shit.
They get buried, and yeah. you're not really quite sure what happened to him. So,
yeah.
So they can always come back. That yeah. kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the whole thing.
Why are
so,
you getting rid of your moneymakers? Your villains are the ones that really make the fucking money.
So, yeah, so it seems like while they had the right idea, like King Kong, I'm not saying that they shouldn't have killed King Kong at the end of King Kong, because I think that's a really good ending, even though yeah. it's really sad. But I think that was kind of like the whole point of the movie. But then when they did Son of Kong, I was like, okay, that's a good idea. So he had a baby. They don't really say. They
where's
just,
the mama?
They just assume, yeah, where's...
Where's the extended... Where's the breeding population?
Mom Kong.
Yeah.
There's a movie they did. Now, they yeah. did make a horrible, horrible, horrible movie in the 70s, I think, called Queen Kong.
Okay.
Which I think was a British movie.
Did it have
I haven't,
lipstick?
What?
Is that the one that had lipstick?
It might have, yeah.
I think it had lipstick on it.
I haven't seen... I didn't sit through the whole thing, yeah. but remember Brandon Tenold on his yeah. On his channel? He yeah. talked about it on there, and it was like a 20 or 30 minute video. And it looks atrocious, but I also kind of want to see it. So yeah, but they never did do a Mom Kong, did they? They never think about that. It's all. I don't know why yeah. they never do. I don't know. I guess later, like Hammer and stuff like that, did like Daughter of Dracula and stuff like mm-hmm. that. But it's usually like Son of whatever.
Yeah.
But they never think about like who the mom is.
Yeah.
It's a mystery.
Zach's in there freaking out. Oh, Tom's talking about Jewish guys again. Zach and his crush on Jewish boys. Leave them men alone. Leave them alone, Zach.
Danny Rowling said, let's just say Baby Kong pulled a Harry Houdini escape act and swam to inner hollow earth and survived.
Yeah.
See, I mean, that's... They could have done that because they didn't absolutely... They just assumed that he died. You did see his little hand, like...
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So I guess if they really wanted to bring him back... Then they could have said...
They could write somehow where
like
he
swam, like he found like an air pocket or some shit.
Yeah, it would have made more sense to have a kind of a happy ending, though.
Yeah, it would have fit more in with the tone. I mean,
the tone of the movie.
I wasn't bothered by King Kong dying at the end of King Kong because that it was a more serious movie.
Yeah.
And it was, like I said, that was kind of like the point of it. They brought him out of his habitat and he got fucked over. Whereas this one was a lot more lighthearted. But then they still killed him at the end, even though he was friendly.
Yeah.
So to me, that just seemed... That's why I was kind of, like, mad at the end. And, like, and I asked Pookie, like, I was like, do you believe that shit? Do you believe that shit, Pookie? She didn't believe it. She couldn't believe it either. When he said, ooh, Jenny, I love the new wig. Thank you. This is actually, like, not a new wig, a new one. It's an old one.
I just
haven't worn it in a really long time because I have shorter ones now. But... Danny Rowling said, I believe they did a mock on called Big Mama's House. Just kidding. Yeah, so Danny Rowling's also coming up with like a bunch of new, like, Baby Kong like, versus Anunnaki giants and shit.
Yeah.
Like, which, yeah, they could have gone in a lot of different directions, but they didn't really figure it out until later.
The Japanese saw the potential.
Yeah.
They understood what we were dealing with. They were like, they fucked that up. They should have did this and this and that. And that's what all that. Like Gojira, the very first one, it's a serious movie. It's like up there, it's like,
Yeah.
It's almost kind of scary. Remember, I haven't seen it in a long
time. It's a way more, not funny. It's not like some
black
of the...
Black and white.
Yeah. Gojira. I actually really like the first one.
We got to see that one again. Gojira was good, and then they didn't make the mistakes that we made with Kong, where you kill off your fucking monsters, and then you kill off the prodigy, and fucking... You let them survive. It's a lot better.
To fight another day.
To fight another day.
Sure.
So to make another movie. They fucking made...
Well, shit, at the end of this one, they didn't just kill Baby Kong. They sunk the whole island.
The whole island, yeah.
So all the dinosaurs, everybody.
No. See,
all the natives, they didn't even mention that.
Japanese knew better. They had an island off their coast called Monster Island that they could always access, and they could get a new monster out of there. They knew... Japanese know how to make money.
Sergeant Deadhead said, Tom's not Pookie. No, Pookie is the kitty
Pookie's
cat.
Pookie's the cat.
She's the kitty cat.
Yeah.
Which sometimes you can see her little stumpy tail like going around behind us. I saw some... Oh, Danny Rowling said Gorgo was the adjacent English Godzilla knockoff.
Yeah.
I saw that on Mystery Science Theater, so I've actually seen Gorgo like a bunch of times.
I thought it was Irish.
It is Irish, It's Irish, yeah. Or at least...
Irish should come up with that? Oh, shit.
I don't know if the British made it and it just happened that Gorgo, like, attacked Ireland. But it had some American actors in it, though. It had the dude that was in... What the fuck was that dude's name? That dude was in was he in 2001 A Space Odyssey, I want to think?
I remember seeing it as a kid and liking it, but then I saw it later on and saw that it was... I remember thinking that it was just mediocre. There was something about the tone. It was too... but I haven't seen it in a long time.
It's okay. It's not great. Like I said,
The Swedish one was even worse.
They did that one on Mystery Science Theater, too.
Terrible.
Like the new one. Yeah, what the fuck was that called?
The Swedes can't make movies.
Well, that's not true.
No, that
they can't
sucked.
Make monster movies.
Yeah, they couldn't make monster.
They can make other kinds of movies.
The tone
movies.
Is too serious and too...
Well, no, the weird thing about it is that most of it's, like, really serious, but then there's, like, one character in there that's, like, a total comic relief character whose, like, eyes are bugging out, and it's, like, really, really strange. What the fuck is the name of that thing? I saw it. It was on the newer Mystery Science Theater, the one that was on Netflix.
They basically fight a Chinese dragon.
Yeah.
A Chinese dragon in Sweden.
John Gore said Gorgo was a tearjerker as a kid with the baby monster being saved by its mother. Yeah, that's kind of... that. I don't think that was the first time that trope had been done, but yeah, they find the monster and they put it in the circus or whatever, and I remember the circus is called Dorkins.
Yeah.
Like, that was the guy's last name, was Dorkin, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, did you not workshop this at all?
See, the British were good at shit. They were real good at shit. they made real good movies. They had real good actors. They still have them to this day. They got a strong theater. Oh, they actually teach their actors how to act before they put them in movies. You know, fucking. Anyway, they had a lot of good movies. There was one that I remember, and they could pull a cheap movie out of nothing, and it would make an impression on you, especially when you were a kid. One I remember was The Day of the Triffids. I remember that fucking scaring me. I haven't seen it in a long time.
I saw it a couple months ago because I covered it for my other series.
Is it any good?
I don't love it. Okay. To be honest, it has its moments, but it wasn't as scary as I remembered. The book is way better.
All right.
But
that'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
That needs to be redone. It's kind of like a zombie apocalypse, but it's alien plants taking over.
I thought they did remake that though.
You'd have to do that the right way. Did they? I don't know if they did a good job.
I don't know. I mean, maybe they didn't remake it. Maybe I'm thinking of something else. Yeah. But I didn't know if they'd done another adaptation because the novel was by John Wyndham.
Yeah.
The same guy that wrote The Midwich Cuckoos, which was the book that what's the movie about the kids that with the white hair like all the blonde
Village
kids?
Of the Damned.
Village of the Damned. It was the same author.
Yeah. And the British, of course, basically made the old Star Wars movies. In case you guys didn't know, that was all fucking studio. Most of that studio work was done up in England. They made all them fucking sets and shit. Did a good job on that. Hell yeah, British craftsmanship.
Well, yeah. I mean, I like a lot of British actors. I like a lot of British films, to be honest.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. You couldn't do that in the United States. It would cost too much, and then the fucking studios would tell you, "Oh, you can't do this. Oh, you can't do that." No, go down to England, man. Fucking, they'll make some cool shit. They had experience with Doctor Who and shit. They'd make it crazy shit, you know. Fucking old Tom Baker, Doctor Who, which I got to get on. I got to jump back on those and fucking finish them.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got BritBox for the express purpose of watching all the Doctor Who.
I called him Doctor Who. Doctor Who. Yeah, that's my version of it.
That's Tom's version. You should make it. That would be so funny if you did a real cheap Jack sci-fi show called Doctor Who.
Yeah,
Doctor
Who. Who are you? I don't know what to do. I'm like Tom Baker, but I'm short. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Like an American version.
That'd be hilarious. Yeah. Blurdo Dude says Godzilla's son Godzuki looks like Ernest Borgnine. He does that.
It is Ernest Borgnine, didn't you know?
He's such a good
actor. That's him, yeah.
Danny Rolling also said, in all these monster films, they never show the creatures taking a dump and how big their turds are, which would be funny to see, just saying. Actually, I kind of...
I made that
comment when we were watching the first King Kong. I was like, why... Like, you would think you'd be stepping in, like, dinosaur shit all over this fucking island.
That old comedy movie called Caveman, the dude falls in a giant fucking dinosaur turd. Remember that?
Yeah,
remember
I mean, it happens in comedies. I'm not saying, but yeah. Does it happen in Jurassic Park too? I want to say.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe it does. Like somebody falls into like a big giant dinosaur flop. Yeah. All right, so we've been going almost an hour.
Yeah, and I got
and
the restroom.
I'm starving.
Yeah.
And
I got food made.
Yeah. So, thanks everybody for dropping by. Son of Kong and the original King Kong are both on HBO Max if you have that. So in their little classic section. So tomorrow's Wednesday, and that means that it's going to be our main show, and we're doing. True crime. Once again, we're doing the Toolbox Killers.
That's right. And make sure you bring your drinks, and we're going to drink that whole show.
Yeah. Oh, and like, don't forget, on Friday, the Sidetrack show, you said you were going to buy Colt 45 and shit like that. I wrote it down, so don't forget.
Okay, just remind me tomorrow.
We're gonna do, like, the shitty drinks taste test on Friday night's show.
King Cobra, Colt 45...
We'll do that on the Friday night show because like tomorrow night's show is going to be like too much of a bummer. So because it's going to be true crime, but it's a pretty horrific. But John Gore said, "Bring your tools." Oh boy, I was reading some notes. I'd heard about the case before, but like I started reading through it, I'm like, oh man, this one's going to be grim. But yeah, so thanks everybody for dropping by. We will see you guys again tomorrow evening. Bye.